missed you this morning. All right. 177 in your book. Let's stand and sing. 177.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood? Walking daily by the Savior's side, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Singing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who has a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody in the house tonight? Yes, Miss Brenda.
I'm praying that prayer this morning. She seems to like our church really well, and she's going to be facing some female surgery next Monday, so she won't be in town. She said she'd be in her prayer.
It was good to have her this morning. Remember that church? Having surgery, so remember her. Yes, Jesse. Okay. Yes, Susie. Yes. Anybody else tonight? God knows before we ask. Family? Connie? Yeah. Marie? All right. All right, let's have a couple ushers if we can. And then we'll take up the Sunday night offering. Don't wait. Tommy, bless her offering. To look at this one a little bit more tonight, so I'll stay up here. I normally go down there where you're at. That's right. You're right. I'm not being taped tonight, see? Testing, 1, 2, we're good.
Is all he'd say. What sin that's as far away as the east is from the west? What sin it was gone the very minute. Forgetfulness. Isn't God good? The heavy stain you'll carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear them, so let them go in Jesus' name. Our God is slow to anger. He's quick to forgive our sin. So let him put them under the blood. Don't bring them up again. Cause he'll just say, What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? The very minute you confessed, it's buried in the sea of forgetfulness.
Woo! Great.
Deliver me from my accusing memory. Nothing makes me weak this way than when I hear you say, What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west.
Aren't you glad?
What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. It's buried in the sea of forgetfulness.
Music was over. Pretty song. Truthful song. A good song. Give me a mic. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, that's a biblical song. Do we believe it? Is that the key to it? A lot of pretty songs have a lot of truth to them, and we love the melody and the medley and everything else about it, but do we believe it? If it's a biblical, scriptural song, then we ought to believe it. Just like when we get into the Word here tonight. How many of y'all are familiar with Psalm 119? Gina, you're familiar with it? Good. Actually, reason I said that was because I had talked to Dwayne and Gina today, and she had asked me what I was going to be speaking on tonight, and I told her Psalms. And she said, "Which one?" And I said, 34, 35, which one do you want? And she said, 119. So for the month of March and the month of April, we're staying here for the month of March and the month of April. Have you looked at Psalm 119 lately? It is the longest, yeah. But boy, is it good. Now, does anybody remember what is unique about Psalm 119? Come on, speak out. Who said that? Helen, you won the prize. If you'll notice, Psalm 119 is broken up in 8 verses each. It starts out with the first 8, second 8, third 8, fourth 8, and right on down. Well, tonight, it's not what Gina wanted, but it's Psalm 119. And look at verse 57, if you will. Verse 57 goes down through verse 64. So that's how many verses? 8. Now, there's something else unique about Psalm 119. Lacey? Anybody know? It's real important. It really is. No. No. Good try. No. What is unique about it is that it's in 8 verses each, and in every verse it mentions the scripture. It is the scripture psalm. It is the scripture psalm of all the psalms. Every verse has the scripture involved. How many words are there that pertain to scripture? Oh, a lot. Now I'm going to show them to you, okay? I'll get into the verses here in a second. In the very first verse of 57, he brings it out by saying the word, thy words, right there at the end, right? Now in the second one, he says, be merciful unto me according to what? Thy word. Then he says, turn my feet unto thy what? Same word. It's the word. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Same thing. The bands of the wicked in verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law, the word. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments, his word. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts, thy word. Same thing. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes, his word. Now, if you want to prove that, you go to any 8 that you want to, starting with verse 1 of 119, and you'll find out that in every verse, his word is mentioned. Because that's what it's about. Now, did that not make it really exciting? Say yes, because it's his word. Yeah, I get excited about his word because his word's everything. It's life. This is a life-giving book. And not to give you more wind in your lungs, but to give you true, eternal life. It's good stuff. Let's ask the Lord to bless this. I told you I would be very short tonight. I'll get through by 7:30. No. Let's ask the Lord to bless these 8 verses of Scripture here. Okay, we're just going to learn something good for us. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your law, your statutes, your testimonies. Lord, we want to thank you for your word, your precious word. It is so good. For all the request of prayer that was given here tonight, for families and for individuals, Lord, you know all about them. You know where they are. You know what their need is. And we pray, oh God, that as we see the answer, we give you the glory and the praise for everything. You're so good to us. You've always been good. You always will be good. And we praise you for it. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's take a look at verse 57, if you will. Verse 57, this psalmist comes to a place, when I read it, you'll see, in each one of these verses, he's looking at something different for himself. And for you and I, when we read the word, it ought to mean something particular to us when you read it. If it grabs you, doesn't matter if it's grabbing somebody else. They have to determine that. But if it's grabbing you, that means it's got you. And this psalmist is saying, now, Lord, here's what I've understood. Here's what I've learned. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I'm going to do. That's the way he's talking. Just like we would talk about our own life. So in verse 57, he says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." Now that's the break of that particular verse. "Thou art my portion, O Lord." What did he just do? He just told us that he realized that the Lord was his portion. That's what he did. He realized. Now, realization is a wonderful thing if you want to grow in the Lord. And as you read the word and it comes alive to you, it ought to cause you to realize where you need to be or where you've been or where you're going. You know, it's just that David would say, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." So he realized where he was. But then look at the rest of that. The rest of that says, "I have said that I would keep thy words." I told you, Lord. Is that what he's saying in our own language here? I told you, Lord, that I would do what? I would keep your words. Now, how many of us have told the Lord when you got saved, you might not have remembered doing it exactly like this. Lord, I'm resolving now to keep your word. I want your word to be primary in my life. And I want to show you my love for you, because wasn't that what we learned this morning? That if we love him, we'll obey his word. And so he's saying here, I will obey your word. I will do that because I know now where I am. You are my portion. You are everything to me. Now let's get right on to verse 58. Now, verse 58 says this, "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart." Doesn't take a long time to say something that'll communicate something for your life. And that's what he does here. He communicates things for life. When he said, "I entreated thy favor." Good word for grace, isn't it? Huh? His favor on you, his favor on me. "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart." He wasn't talking about just halfway doing it. He wasn't talking about committing himself to a Sunday or a Wednesday. He was talking about committing his life. Yeah. We commit ourselves sometimes by when we go to church. If we go to church, we're committed. I know I say some things that are pretty hard to take. Yeah, I do. But if the shoe fits, wear it. Right? Yeah. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Lord, here is my whole heart, and I'm looking to you for divine guidance. So he is requesting something of the Lord here in verse 58. He said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me. How? According to thy word. If you want God to be merciful to you, say, God, be merciful to me according to thy word. Don't show me anything that's not according to your word. Because, folks, this is our truth. This is our life. This is everything to us. As his children, this is everything to us. So he says, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Then he says in verse 59 and 60 go together. So even though both verses have the word testimony and the word commandment in them, I want to put them together. I thought on my ways. I've done that sometimes, scare me to death. I thought on my ways. My ways haven't always been right. Have yours? This is a good place to have a good talk with the Lord. And you can do it silently. It's okay. He hears it because he listens to what you're saying from your heart. So he says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Did you get that? I thought on my ways. That's the direction he's going. And he said, I've got to go the way you want me to go. And if my way's not going the right way, then what do? I turn my feet and I go the right way. Now, he's not literally talking about his feet here. He's talking about going where you want me to, Lord. Where does he want you to go? What does he want you to do? Now, if you are not sure you're in the will of God for your Christian life, you need to go to verse 60 and say, or verse 59, and say, I thought on my ways, Lord. I thought, what do you want me to do? I want to give some deep thought to this. So I've thought on my ways. Now, I'm going to turn my feet. How do you turn your feet? Well, if you're not going in the right direction, you say, oh, God, forgive me for going in the wrong direction. And when you went in the wrong direction, you know where you need to go. So you say, I'm turning my feet toward you and your word. I'm not turning it toward some church somewhere. I'm turning it toward you. The church will take care of itself. Where you attend church is important. It ought to be a Bible-believing, preaching, teaching, singing church. If it's not, it's the wrong church. Right? And if you're going to one that's like that, you're wrong, and you need to turn your feet and go in the right direction toward where you can get fed from the Word of God. So now he's talking about being obedient to the Word of God. His path, his life, your path, your life. So he thought on his ways. He turned his feet to his testimonies. Then he said, and I like this. And then he said, I made haste. I made haste. I don't know about you, but that means he turned pretty quickly. Huh? Now, I know that some of y'all have played ball in here before, right? How many of y'all have played ball before? What's this, Lacey? So, in playing ball, I don't know of a ball that if you play ball that you shouldn't have some kind of speed, right? If you hit the ball, how quickly do you want to get to first base? Quickly. The last time that I left home plate going to first, I was quicker than my feet. And I tore my knees all to pieces. I raked dirt from about 5 feet after I left home plate. I raked dirt almost all the way to first base trying to get there, and I'd been out for 5 minutes already. They got me out really quickly, but I was trying my best to get there, and I tore my knees all to pieces. It wasn't too long after that that I said, you know what, I'm 70 years old. I need to quit this stuff. So I retired at the age of 70 from playing softball. I could still run faster than some of those guys that are out there now. Okay, he says, so I made haste. I like to see a Christian get down to business with God. And when you find out where you're going to go toward his word, make some haste. Don't say, I'll think about that next week. Don't put it off. Putting it off's not right for you, and it's not right for the people who need you to be where you need to be in the word of God. Amen. So you're not only affecting you, you're affecting other people who might be helped by where you are. So he says, I made haste, and, now this is weird, that I made haste and delayed. Oh, but what did he delay? I delayed not. See if you read it in just words. And delayed not to keep thy commandments. Amen? Amen. That's good stuff. And if we take that and believe it, now when we believe it, what will it determine? It'll determine what you do if you really believe it. Don't say just because it's between the covers that you believe it. Say it because you want it to be a part of your life, and you've turned your feet toward him, and now you've made haste and you're not going to delay this any longer. You're going to do it now. Because that, isn't that what he says about salvation and everything? If you're going to get saved, now's the day. Now's the time. Today's the day. It's not tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. And if he gets you going in the right direction where you can tell somebody about their soul, why would you want to put it off? Why should we? We can't. We really can't. And be honest toward God if we put it off. And this psalmist knew where he was, and he knew where he needed to be, and he was going in that direction. So he says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now, let's go on, because it gets gooder. Huh? In verse 61, he's talking about his enemies. And I know you don't have any, but just in case you did, well, you do. Everybody in here has an enemy. What's his name? Yeah. Oh, you were coming up with other people in your community, weren't you? I can see that. Yeah, somebody lives next door to you, or over behind you, or in front of you, or somewhere. Yeah. The bands of the wicked. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. Now, I've been told, and you've been told by other people. I'll tell you who told me one time. I was in a situation I should not have been in. I was discussing it with this elderly black lady that used to come here to church, Julie May. Y'all remember Julie May? Julie May went up here to Temple, Grace Temple Church, and I used to go up there and worship with them, loved them. And I'd go up and sometimes and sing and have a good time with them. But she'd come here, and every time she came here, we would have her give her testimony and sing. Amen, Tom? She stirred Tom up even. She would come down here, but she was just so open with where she was with the Lord, and she loved the Lord. You could see it all over her, and she'd shout and scream and holler and praise the Lord. She was the right deal. She was it. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. You know what she told me? Because I was telling her how I was feeling about some things, and she said, "Don't you let anybody rob you of your joy, boy." She could call me boy because she was older than me. She said, don't you let anybody rob you of your joy, boy. Don't you do that. And I would say to you, don't you let anybody rob you of your joy. If you've got joy in the Lord and you're doing the right things for him and you've turned your feet toward him, don't you let anybody or anything turn you from your joy. That belongs to you, and it belongs to the people that you're going to communicate with. They need to hear the joy in you They've got to hear the joy in you. They've got to hear not just a fake happiness. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a joy because you know the Lord. You know His word, and you've turned your feet toward His word. So the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Sorry. Got a little loud there, didn't I? But I have not forgotten thy law. What's the law? Anybody got their Bible with them? Hold it up. Oh, man, I wish you could see that from here. That's the law. Not the law that where if I don't go to church five times a week or three times a week or whatever, that I'm in trouble with God and I've got to start wearing a hard hat, that sort of thing. No, it's His law. It's His rule of life. It's what He set up for us to have a good life, a joyful life, a rejoicing life. He set it up for us. So He says, but I've not forgotten the enemy. They've come in and they've robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. So I can tell you for a fact, if he hadn't forgotten his law, it won't take too long for him to get back on track. At midnight, I don't know what goes on at midnight, but nobody should be out at midnight. How many of y'all, your parents told you nothing good happens after midnight? Of course they did. Because nothing good happens after midnight. That's why. You ought to be at home watching. No, you can't watch TV. How many of y'all remember when TV actually went off at night? You remember that? And they do the national anthem. And of course, we. At what time was that, 11?
I think it was
11. 11 o'clock, yeah. I think it was 11 o'clock. And WJHL would say, it's 11 o'clock, and do you know where your children are? I love that, and I still use it today. It's 11 o'clock, and do you know where your children are? Because that's when actually it was a smart thing to keep up with your children. I can assure you my parents knew where their children were unless we were hiding something somewhere. They kept up pretty good as they could with four old mean boys and my sister never got into that. But the four mean boys, they kept up pretty good with us. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee. How about that? At midnight? Wonderful, isn't it? To say I'm getting up at midnight and giving praise to him and thanks to him. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I have your word, Lord, and your words meant a lot to me. I got saved when I heard your word. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I got saved when I heard your word. And the more I learned about your word, the more victorious my life was. The more I learned about your word, the better my life was and the better some other people's lives were. I can take you to people that were saved under messages that I've preached, and you can probably show me people that were saved under people you've witnessed to. There's not a more wonderful thing that can happen to you is to give somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ and have them to say, I want to be saved. It will absolutely overwhelm you, and you won't be able to see to drive your car. At midnight I will rise and give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Verse 63. You see, he's excited about serving the Lord here. Is that what you got from that? That's what I get. Yeah, that he's excited about what he's doing. Well, be excited. And excitement's not in how high your voice pitch is either. By the way, excitement's just because it's there, right? I get excited when I see a dog wagging its tail. For one thing, I know it's probably a dog that's not going to bite me, and I can get excited about that. There are things in life that excite us. Now, I don't know what all yours are. You know what excites you in life. Well, for all of us here tonight, when we get into the Word, it ought to excite us because He tells us what He wants us to do and how He wants us to do it. And that ought to excite us. When I get my orders and I know exactly where I'm going and I've turned my feet in that direction, I'm an excited person. And I'm going to be excited until the job's done. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion. I am a companion of all them. Wait. That what? That fear thee. He's keeping good company. That's what he's doing. That's one reason why Christians ought to frequent the house of God.
That's right.
Now see, I never said you ought to be here every service. I quit that a long time ago. I think if you can, you ought to be here. That's just my own thinking. But I didn't say that. We ought to want to frequent the house of God. Why? Because that's where my companions are. That's where not my buddies, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And I'm looking back at every one of you. Had a delightful afternoon. Had a delightful afternoon. One of my favorite people, and this is nothing against you, Gina, okay? But one of my favorite people, Dwayne, met him. How long has it been since Leanne died? 4 years. 4 years ago, I was in a funeral home, went outside and saw a man going down the walkway there with long hair. And I'm thinking, look at that old boy. I wonder how he wandered in here. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. But I'm telling you, the moment I started talking to him, and this is why we should do this. The moment I started talking to him, there was something there that says, well, this is one of my boys. That's just how I felt about you, Dwayne. And some of you others, when I met you in life, and that's how I felt about him. And today he's still in my life. 4 years. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. That's all them that know the Lord. If you know the Lord and you're where you need to be and you're in his word, I guarantee you you're fearing him. Now, did I say you're scared to death of him? No. I said, you're standing there looking up at him, and you're in awe of who he is. It's just hard for you to take it all in as to what he was to you, what he was to your brothers and sisters, your companions who fear him, who stand in awe. That's what it is. It's a special fear. It's a special fear. He has such power. He has all power in heaven and earth. He knows all things, and he's everywhere all the time. Wow! And I stand in awe of that, and that's the fear that drives me, the fear that I serve a God who has so much power, who can turn my lights out in a heartbeat. Not that he wants to turn my lights out, just that he can when he wants to. He's a sovereign God. He can do what he wants to. I love him. I love him. I don't see his power as a deterrent. I see his power as a, come on, let's do this together. I'll be the one who fights for you. I am a companion of all them that fear him and of them that keep thy precepts. I'm not up to causing you to keep his precepts. I'm up to recognizing when you do and making you one of my companions. I love being with people who love his precepts. I love being with people who love his word. Do I love being with other people? I'm not a people person. I say that, and when I say that, you all snicker. And I know why you snicker, because I know what I am. I'm my mama's boy. And I am a people person. But I love those of my companions. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, those that fear him. And the Lord has given me a love for those that don't, a love for their soul. I want them to go to heaven with me. But more than anything, I love those that keep his precepts, those who love the word. Verse 64. The earth, O Lord. I wrote this down, and I got to share it with you, because on that last verse that I just said, my companions, I like being with them, you know, and them that fear him. And I wrote down birds of a feather, birds of a feather flock together. I've been told a lot that this is my flock. I love my flock, and I love flocking together with you, okay? I do. And we are birds of a feather, right? Yeah, okay. Now I'll go on to the next verse. The earth, O Lord, he created it. Created everything in it, everybody, everything, every speck of dirt, you can't come up with anything small enough that he didn't create. In fact, not too long ago, I covered the fact that he created all the atoms. You know, we thought it was real good when we could make a machine that would split atoms, and he made them. He could split them and make more long before we ever learned how to split an atom. The earth. O Lord, y'all ever like see these outer space pictures that look back at the earth? I do, because I can say right there I am. I'm right there in that left-hand corner, right up there. I look back at that and I think, goodness gracious, how little it looks when you look at it from up there. The fact is, they're finding more and more. They're finding more earths. They're finding more moons. They're finding more suns. They're finding more of everything. You know why? Because my God is great. And he created everything they'll ever find. They're not going to sell me on no Big Bang Theory. Right here's the truth. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. It won't be where tomorrow you'll go that you won't be where his mercy is not. You won't be where it's not. There is not a place, because the earth is full of his mercy. Isn't that good? When you need it, it's there. Don't have to worry about it. Don't expect it to come from somebody. It'll come from him. So this psalmist says, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me. Now, if he's going to teach you, you're going to read it. You're going to study it. You're going to get to know it and understand it. And he's going to teach you what it's really saying from the heart. From the heart. And I love y'all in my heart. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. I could make a partial list, but I couldn't make a full list. There's no way. Just want to thank you for everything. And Lord, especially for this congregation of my companions, my brothers, my sisters. I just thank you for everything. Now, as we go over here, Lord, to the fellowship hall to fellowship with each other and have some
laughter and some joy sounds. Lord, I just love to hear everybody, the noise, and especially the noise of little children. But Lord, we just praise you for everything good you've done for us this day and for every day. And we're going to praise you for the answer to our prayers, because you're sure to do it. And we'll glorify you. May we praise you. And we ask, Lord, that as we partake of the food, that you'll bless that food so that we can have the energy to go and serve you. And we'll praise you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.